On tonight's Hillbilly Nerd Talk, fried chicken sunscreen, how to have more sex, the world's biggest pearl, and Proxima Centauri, our nearest neighbor.
Welcome to Hillbilly Nerd Talk with Hank and Petra.
Welcome to Hillbilly Nerd Talk. I'm Hank.
And I'm Petra.
Petra, what is the greatest chicken in the world?
Not Kentucky Fried Chicken.
That is bullshit. How dare you? That is blasphemy.
I'm in Kentucky and I'm saying not that.
How can you not think at KFC? Which, by the way, they've been inching their way towards all this marketing stuff for years.
Well, they have had some goofy, great marketing.
Instead of Kentucky Fried Chicken, it's KFC. They've tried to do that to make it to the, you know, appeal to young people.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's not that far away from us in Hazard where that started.
I know.
In Harlan, Kentucky.
Yeehaw.
All right. What chicken do you think is possibly any better than KFC?
I personally really enjoyed Popeye's.
God, that
chicken.
Is blasphemy.
I did.
God.
It was a Savannah thing.
Popeye's chicken.
Yeah.
I tried it once. Garbage. Garbage compared to KFC. What are you talking
really?
About?
No. Mm-mm. But I can't have either now because the gluten will not work.
You
for
might
me.
As well be talking about the Piggly Wiggly Deli.
Oh, good gosh. Whatever, Hank. You just, you're always right. So you just call him Kentucky Fried Chicken. This is how you win an argument with him, by the way.
How about Lee's famous recipe?
Lee's famous recipe. Yeah, that's around Moorhead, isn't it?
They're a franchise. They're probably a pretty large franchise. They're okay.
Oh, what about Chester's Chicken?
Oh, please.
My brother has a Chester's Chicken franchise.
Chester's Chicken couldn't hold KFC's Rooster Cone.
Chairman Mao's Chicken.
Well, KFC has, they've hired the same, I think it's the same marketing firm for the Old Spice people.
I think it might possibly be because this is some of the goofiestness.
Yeah, I think
goofiestness. I made up a word.
Goofiestness.
Yeah,
that's a pretty good word.
Yeah, I like it.
Well,
you know,
we have businesses. I appreciate good marketing.
Yes,
I understand when I see something that I'm being marketed to, and that's okay. As long as I know I'm not being tricked. That. I just wonder if how many people do see things on YouTube and things by businesses and realize that they're being marketed to.
I don't know, but I'm so jaded to marketing sometimes. Like I realized this. I tried a product. It was a hair product that said Miracle Creator. And instantly I was turned off by it. I was like, what the heck ever? You know, but it was given to me free. So I at least tried it.
Sure.
And it was amazing.
Well, there you go.
It really was a great product, but I would have never tried it based on the name. Sorry, Matrix. I would not have tried it.
Well, when I was growing up, like Old Spice, you would have no guy in there, you know, I'm talking about age group from like 12 or 15 to 30 would have, you couldn't have got them to use Old Spice. It was just a joke. It was your old man.
Or your grandpa's.
Old man, grandpa's shit you bought him for Christmas that nobody, it smelled like Old Spice, you know.
Yeah, yep. What did you use? Polo or?
Oh, I think Polo, like all the other little
like everybody else,
redneck
you smell
kids.
Like every other redneck kid in the
of course.
Engine.
Yeah.
Holler.
Yeah, exactly.
No difference.
Well, KFC has done some good job marketing, and I want to point it out. And it's funny, so I don't mind.
Very similar to Old Spice. Now, Old Spice is cool again.
Yeah.
Because of their advertising. Now, women go out and buy Old Spice for their young boyfriends.
That's right. Well, KFC has a new product. I think this is brilliant marketing. Mm-hmm. And it's free, or it was free. They made, apparently, 3,000 bottles of crispy chicken smelling sunscreen.
This is awful.
Kentucky Fried Chicken extra crispy smelling sunscreen. And yeah, it's a joke. We're laughing about it, but it's a real product.
And you know what?
They gave it away for free. It instantly, I won't say sold out, but they instantly gave it all away, of course.
Yeah.
They've put a marketing campaign together that's all like online viral. I've not seen any commercials on TV. It's all YouTube based, and
which is so much cooler than television commercials.
Based on Facebook and sharing and Twitter and all the other social media. I think that's very smart.
Yeah.
And I want to play you the commercial here, and you can watch it with me.
Okay.
This is the Old Spice, or not the Old Spice, the KFC.
You're crossing the streams, Andy.
Ah, don't do that. Don't do that.
All right.
Let's see if this works here. We've got a setup here that's a little different, Petra.
Yeah, because your computer's dead.
No, it's not working.
It's sick.
Maybe it is. No, it's not. What the hell? This was just working, Petra. Why do all my electronics hate me right now?
Do you have a like, Apple bug?
Messy sunscreen? Sick of that awful lotion odor? Do you want to smell like fried chicken? You're just not hungry. Introducing the KFC Extra Crispy Sunscreen. A real limited edition product that we are giving away for free. It works just like regular sunscreen, but it smells like fried chicken.
I'm a lot more popular now.
I smell 10 years younger.
Let's get a whiff of this stuff.
My Extra Crispy Sunscreen doesn't just keep you smelling great, it keeps you feeling delicious. Extra Crispy.
KFC Extra Crispy Sunscreen. Extra Crispy. It's real, and also do not eat it.
Smells like chicken, tastes like sunscreen.
Get your Extra Crispy Sunscreen now for free. It's definitely real and definitely not edible, so do not eat this. Available for limited time only. Extra
Crispy. I don't know. I don't know if it's exactly the same people doing the marketing. It's just a touch. The tone's just a little different.
God, it's not much, though.
But it is extra cheesy.
Yeah, that's the idea.
It's pretty bad.
You can visit. This episode is sponsored by KFC, whether they know it or not. You can visit extracrispysunscreen.com. I mean, I'm sure they're out, but there's still a website up.
And yeah, you can go see the commercials, and yeah, that is.
Last week when I saw this and shared it, it had just from my little Twitter thing here. It had 2,231 shares.
It's going viral pretty fast.
Of course.
People are talking about it. So
I can appreciate fun stuff and good for KFC.
It's funny. That is funny. I got to say that's, but my immediate response,
you don't want to smell like,
oh God, yuck.
Let me tell you, you put that on around here in Eastern Kentucky, Appalachia, Petra. That would be like the Polo cologne of our youth.
It would. I mean, because people would be like, oh, God, you smell delicious.
They would. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
They would.
I don't know if it's all areas, but when like fall candles and Christmas candles and scents come out and everything, everybody has to get like cookie dough and pumpkin cupcake and like stuff that smells like food. Nobody ever gets anything except stuff that smells like food. And I'm like,
God,
really?
It's no wonder.
I don't want to burn that all the time because then I'd be hungry all the time.
God, it's no wonder everybody in this, it's no wonder this is the most obese area in the whole world.
It's pretty bad. It is pretty
bad. It's not in the least bit surprising, considering.
Well, I finally figured out how if I want like junk candy from the dollar store, because we have a dollar store in the same shopping plaza where I'm going to school, I'll go buy my dollar bag of candy, open it up, get what I want out of it, leave it at the front desk. It is gone by the end of the day, so I never have to worry about it.
When it comes to eating candy, you girls have exactly the same attitude as you do towards your flatulence. Like, you will not admit it. It doesn't happen. I'm going to hide it. But we all fucking know it happens.
We do eat candy. I have a moment where I'm like, oh my God. And I did last week, and I went and bought a bag of candy because all the Halloween candy's out. And it was a bag of caramel apple toffee, and it was fantastic. And I ate some on the way back to school. And then I got four more pieces out, and I left it on the front desk, and it was gone by the end of the day. So I didn't feel like I was wasting. I felt like I was sharing.
A bunch of little phantom nibblers.
Yes, absolutely. So we sure did. Oh, wait a minute. I've got to get Chairman Meow off my lap. Hank's pointing at me to pull up my article, and I have a cat in the lap. I had to wake her up.
Poor old cat. But anyway, good for KFC. Good for our home state. Even though it's not the healthiest of food to eat, it is the most.
You think?
It is the most delicious. I will stick with that. I don't care what you think. How dare you even mention Popeye's chicken in the same breath?
Popeye's chicken,
please.
Especially the extra spicy.
We have buttermilk biscuits. They even mentioned KFC and buttermilk biscuits. Here we go. Sift the flour, roll the dough.
Your favorite song.
Clap your hands.
You put that on a playlist that you put on an MP3 player for me one time, and I about got run over laughing. When that came on, I just like stopped in the middle of the street to laugh. It was so bad.
That's a little known. That was Sir Mix-a-Lot's first song.
Was it his very first one?
I don't know if it's his first one, but it's the first one that was popular. In college, we just loved that song.
Buttermilk biscuits, yes.
He's like Kentucky Fried Chicken, make the suckers just right.
All right.
What he says. Well, have you got? You've got some article here.
I've got an article.
We've got sex. Sex sells.
Wait, that's six science-backed secrets of people who have more sex.
Nice. This is science and sex.
Yes. Huffington Post. Thank you, Lindsay Holmes.
Nice, Lindsay.
All right.
I bet Lindsay's having sex.
I can only hope so.
I hope so.
All right. Number one, people who have more sex are easygoing.
I believe that.
Okay.
Easygoing. Can I comment as we go?
Yeah.
I think easygoing, probably, at least I'm thinking from the dude perspective, they probably attract more women because they're more easygoing.
Well, so here's what they say. A study that discovered that newlywed couples where the woman ranked high in agreeableness or the desire to please others tend to have more sex more often than other couples. The research looked at personality traits. The study also found that while men tried to initiate sex more, the women were ultimately the ones who determined whether or not the couple engaged in the activity.
Well, yeah, no shit.
We say yes or no.
You say yes or no, and if not, then we go masturbate somewhere, and there we go. And everybody's happy.
So it's either sex or masturbation. Yes.
Sex or whack.
Yes.
Whacking off.
All right. So that one's kind of a funny one. Number two, they get adequate rest.
Okay. Is this study for, or does it say for men and women or just in general?
In general.
All right, it's in general. Men and women.
Okay.
You get more rest.
Extra hours of sleep correspond with higher levels of sexual desire in college-aged women. The process is also cyclical. Other research shows that the residual effects of sex, like release of oxytocin and other stress-relieving chemicals, can mean better sleep.
So you need to get enough sleep.
Yes.
Of course. If you don't get enough sleep,
you're the grand poopa of sleep, aren't you?
Yeah, if you don't get enough sleep, you're grouchy and nobody wants to have sex with Mr. Grouchy Man.
Or you don't want to have sex because you are tired.
Or both.
Yeah.
Get some sleep, people. All right. Come on.
Number three, they say I love you in the moment.
Oh.
Emotional intimacy really can spark physical intimacy. So 75% of sexually satisfied men and 74% of sexually satisfied women reported that their partner said I love you during the last sexual encounter.
Oh, that's kind of sweet.
Oh, yes. Number four.
That's almost, that negates kind of the dirty sex, though, when you say, I love you.
Many of the same individuals also said that setting the mood and engaging in sexy talk also helped with satisfaction.
Yeah.
So there's lessons of that one. I didn't read it out loud.
You get a little,
a little naughty talk.
Yeah, a little dirty talk.
You say it that way. It's not sexy.
It's not?
No. It's just embarrassing.
You know, there was a punchline to a joke as a kid that for some reason I always remembered. It's just one of these jokes that go along. And the punchline of the joke is there's a real country guy that's real nervous about sex. And he's trying to talk sexy to a girl.
Uh-huh.
And he has to come up with a poem on the spot.
Uh-huh.
And the country guy's poem, I can't remember this. There's like a city guy's poem that's really, you know, sophisticated or is real, you know, it's a real, and the country guy's poem was, eyes like a buzzard, skin like a hog. I'm going to break you down like a shotgun and fuck you like a dog. Isn't that awful?
Where do you hear this shit?
It was it was just a joke as a kid. I always thought it was hilarious. Because it's making, see, you do too.
How red am I right now?
Yeah, isn't that goofy? I was like a buzzard, skin like a hog.
I was snorting like a hog.
Break it down like a shotgun and fuck it like a dog.
Not good.
Not good.
No.
Shouldn't say that.
No.
That's for only jokes.
Yeah, and that is only like after you've been married for a long time that you can even tell somebody that one.
Well, I'm glad we made it that far.
All right.
So there you go. There's your hillbilly poem for the day.
That's pretty bad.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Number four. They're experimental, but not that experimental.
That's your number four?
Number four. Okay. Found that researchers also found that trying new things in bed made the respondents happier. And who wouldn't want to engage in an activity that makes them more?
So what's the topic of number four?
Just that they're experimental.
Okay, experimental. Got it.
Yeah.
Okay,
Try new things out.
I can see.
Don't get in a rut.
Yeah, exactly. Experimental people have more sex, sure.
Absolutely.
Makes sense.
Well, I think they mean experimental in bed.
Yeah.
You know, afraid to try new things.
Sure. Break out the handcuffs once in a while, for goodness sakes.
Oh, God. All right, embarrassing story. You tell embarrassing stories on here all the time, so I'm going to tell this one.
Tell away.
This is great. This week, you had a business guy come through. We were having a business meeting kind of after work one evening.
He's an acquaintance of ours, but he is on a bank board that's going to determine whether we get this fucking loan. We're talking millions of dollars, literally a millions of dollar loan. What does Petra do?
Well, I cleaned up the house real quick.
Yeah.
This guy's coming through.
Right.
And then you kind of abandoned me with him to do the house tour. And I took him back and showed him, you know, the fancy shower and this and that. We're walking back through the bedroom and I realized that the sports sheets Velcro cuff was still hanging on one side of the bed in the floor. So basically there's like a Velcro handcuff like attached to the bed,
just hanging there
with
a big neon sign on it saying
"Kinky bitch,
look at me,
there."
Look
yeah.
at me.
Oh god. Because everything else is perfectly neat and picked up, and it's just laying there in the floor. It's like shit. Whoops! I turned blood red too. He just kept right on going. Like cool.
He's cool.
All was cool. Yeah, that was embarrassing.
Oh yeah, we're gonna get that loan. No doubt about it. He's like, great. You're going to take more money and open a sex toy factory.
Yes.
Great.
All right.
Good job, all you Yates. Jackasses.
Jackasses. This is pretty funny. All right. Number five.
So be experimental.
Yeah. We are sometimes.
We are.
Number five, they exercise.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. All right. Work out to make it to the bedroom. Research shows that regular physical activity can enhance your sex drive, particularly if you're a man.
Oh, for sure.
Men who exercise report better erectile function.
Yeah.
Regular workouts may also help reverse a low sex drive.
It's, you know, exercise helps so. I can't believe there's anybody out there that still doesn't exercise on a regular basis.
And the endorphins and the feel-good chemicals, there are some days if I don't get out and get a walk in, I'm squirrely.
How many research articles, things on TV, I mean, how many, literally, I bet the average person through some little blurb somewhere, I bet they hear 1,000 articles a year telling them a good benefit of why you should exercise.
And it's still hard to make yourself do it sometimes. The worst part is showing up. The worst part is showing up.
I mean, we don't like it. I mean, I don't like it. It'd be great to just sit around, eat Doritos all night and watch football. But I can't believe that there's still people that don't do that.
Yeah.
And you're right. Guys, on top of that, on top of everything, all right, your dick's not going to work right if you don't exercise. All right. How about that for the number one reason? Do you still want to have sex? Then fucking exercise.
Yeah.
You know, it's all about blood flow, for love of God. And if you don't exercise, you're not going to be able to perform, frankly.
Absolutely. And I'm sure women are more orgasmic.
Oh, for sure. They,
yeah, from working out too. I mean, it's like you said, it's about blood flow.
Right. So that's a great one. Exercise in general, plus all the other. Yeah. All right. That's great. Plus, if you exercise, you might be able to look down if you're a guy and actually see your penis. How about that for a bonus?
Dicky-doo. Does your belly stick out further than your dicky-doo?
What? Where do you get the dicky-doo?
Does your belly stick out further than your dicky-doo?
That's awesome. Where do you get that?
I've heard that. That's one of those things I've heard for years.
See, guys, that's what girls are talking about behind your damn back. You may not realize it. You may think, I'm Mr. Stud Man. And she's walking away like, yeah, whatever, jackass.
You got dicky doo.
You got dicky doo. This is a downright poetic podcast tonight.
This has been awful.
That's good. That's better than the poem about Timbuktu, I tell you that.
Oh Lord. Well, let's get through this last one before we have that one.
I don't even remember that one. I kind of remember it, but
all right. Number 6. I'm trying to get through this. They don't have sex out of obligation.
Okay.
All right. Sex is supposed to be pleasurable, not an item on a to-do list. So, researchers found that when couples were tasked to have more sex, they viewed it more like a chore and experienced a drop in mood. I can understand that when it's just the day of the week that you have to have sex.
Yeah, I agree.
Ooh, you know, but when it's.
But along those same lines, I will say this. If we haven't had sex for a little while, then I start feeling guilty that we haven't.
Me too.
So
me
I
too.
Do kind of. You know,
right now, I feel like I'm the one that's harassing you for sex.
I don't make it as a chore, but I think, well, you know, it has been a while. I need to start kind of thinking about that. And then it kind of puts it in my mind, and then it ends up happening.
Okay, well, good. You know what I mean? Good. I don't want you to feel obligated.
Yeah, no. I know. Yeah, of course. I don't want to fill out my, my little frequently used card, like your punch card you get at the gas station, you know. I don't want to fill that. But at the same time, if you haven't had sex for a while, you know, you need to think about your partner like, oh, yeah, you know, I've been really busy lately. I need to get on that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. So that's good, right?
Yes.
Those are good.
All right. And thank you, Lindsay Holmes from Huffington Post.
Yes. Nice work, Lindsay. And, you know, you can share this giggle fest tonight, our poetry session. Where can they share all this at?
They can find us on the web at hillbillynerdtalk.com.
Right.
And they can share us on Twitter, on Pinterest, on
Facebook. Wherever.
Yes.
Yeah, you can find us all those places. We're pretty active halfway on Facebook and Twitter mostly. Those are good places to share. Always put a link to the show and things that we're doing on there. So
yeah, you do. You're better at that than I am.
And anything you guys can do to, anything you do to help the show, we appreciate it. Whether it's leaving us a review on iTunes, hitting the share button, just sending us a message saying whatever, we like it.
Nice. Saying that they liked Hank's dirty poetry.
There once was a man from Nantucket. Sorry. Let's see if I can pull this magic article up. Since I'm on my newfangled phone.
Which you got a new phone.
Bound by leather, because I have many leather-bound books.
You know what? You've been really gross that way.
What's wrong with that? So a little Ron Burgundy in there. How about the, let's see, about this story here. How about the world's biggest pearl?
All right.
I think literally a bug just flew up my nose. Now I got Zika. Thanks. I'm trying to see how much it weighed, but I can tell you how big it was.
It was huge.
This is a pearl. Yeah, here it is. It weighs 75 pounds.
Holy crap.
It's 1 foot wide by 2 foot long.
So it's an irregular pearl.
One
pearl.
It's
not a perfectly round pearl.
No, it's not perfectly round. But my God, think about that. A pearl 1 foot wide by 2 feet long.
It's a big
that
ass
weighs
pearl.
75 pounds.
Well, you definitely won't be wearing it around your neck.
It was found in the Philippines. And get this. This dude kept it under his bed for the last 10 years as like a good luck charm. And the only way that he even brought it in to even, that anybody even knew about it was his house burned down. And he was taking his belongings. Apparently the pearl survived, obviously.
Uh-huh.
He was taking his belongings somewhere else. And while he was there, he somehow decided to take this pearl to an actual gemologist or maybe a local
jewelry store.
Somebody that knew what this might be. And like, we're like, holy fuck, are you fucking kidding me? This pearl, they think, is going to fetch about $100 million.
Wow. And it's actually pretty. That's what's funny about that, because it's a very irregular shaped pearl, but it kind of looks like a hand to me, like resting over like an armrest or something. Don't you see those fingers?
Yeah, I was going to say it looks kind of like a brain, like the top of a brain. Like those are the ridges, you know, the little.
Mm-hmm. I see fingers.
I see fingers too. Well, whatever it is, just wrap your head around that this guy from the Philippines. Probably poor. Let's just face it.
Oh, yeah.
He's some diver, some fisherman. I bet he's not rich, but he is now.
I hope so. I hope he didn't sell it to somebody for $15. You know, you never know, because sometimes people need money in the moment. It's kind of like going to the pawn shop.
Found off Palawan in the Philippines. It said somewhere in the Philippines, someplace named Palawan in the Philippines. That is insane. How the hell, what clam could have made this thing?
I don't think they stop growing. I don't think they have an upper size limit. They just die eventually.
And how could he have found it? He must have been a diver, fisherman. I guess a fisherman could have brought it up into their net.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, look at this thing. I think I'll put it under my bed for the next 10 years.
Yeah.
God. It says an unidentified fisherman handed over what may be the largest pearl in the world, and the BBC and other news outlets are reporting it, so apparently it's legit.
Wow, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. We'll put up links to the article so you can see the picture. And it looks like a hand. It does. It looks like Poseidon's hand reaching out.
It does when you say that. I can see that being a pearly hand. Dang, it's kind of pretty shined up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even though it's awkward looking, like you said, it's not a perfectly round thing, but looks like somebody shined that up.
I think they're. What happens is anytime there's an irritant inside one of the shellfish that make pearls, like they just keep secreting in around it. They build up a protective covering around it so that it doesn't irritate their little soft, like mucus membrane tissue in there, and that's how a pearl is formed.
Nice. I kind of knew that, sort of. That's a good review.
I'm a nerd. I'm your nerdling.
Where on your list of people have more sexes being a nerd? That should have been on there.
I think nerds probably do.
Nerds surely. You know, there's a stigma about nerds not having sex. But if they ever get out of the house and find other nerds, then I think they have more nerd sex once they find other nerds.
Yeah, but they have to get out of the basement. Maybe, I wonder if there's a study yet about Pokemon Go players getting out of meeting other Pokemon Go players.
What you need to do is just get two people wearing a Pokemon, some monster outfit, and just have them in the park and just having sex. And people are like, oh, look, it's Pokemon. Nobody wouldn't think anything of it. You'd be like, you're invisible.
They're furries, dude.
They already have that. It's called furries, jackass. That's what Petra says. All right. Well, if shit gets really bad here, how about we just skip town to another planet?
All right.
Apparently, there's one right in our back door.
Yeah, it's so close. I'm being really sarcastic there.
Proxima B is orbiting Proxima Centauri. You know what Proxima Centauri is? You do now.
I do now. You explained it to me earlier, but
Proxima Centauri is our closest star besides our
Alpha Centauri was the closest.
You know, I don't know. I've never heard this either.
So but
whatever, maybe.
Okay.
Well, all right. According to this, whatever. Maybe they found a new closer one. Maybe at one time it was Alpha Centauri.
Maybe it moved closer.
Now it's Proxima Centauri. It makes sense, the word Proxima.
Well, and it may be changed, but I mean, God, it's been a billion years since I've been in school.
Man, they could have changed the name for all we know. But anyway, you know, when you hear so many things you see in the news of these galaxies and these things that are like 5 million light years away, I mean, that just seems like it's just, you might as well just be making up numbers at some point.
Yeah.
Really.
I have a hard time wrapping my, reading books like The Brief History of Time.
And yes.
Just the scale of those numbers.
Right.
My brain can't. And wrap around it.
Right. And even to back up, I mean, I think most people surely understand this, but just think about for a second what we're talking about measurement. The amount of distance a beam of light goes
in a year.
God. I mean, what is a speed like? Like 186,000 blah, blah, blah miles per second.
It's crazy. Like, it takes, from the sun to Earth. Like, the sun could go out, and we wouldn't know it for 3 minutes.
Right. Right. So, imagine these distances that are 100 million light years away.
Yeah.
Light travels for 100 million years before it gets to you, kind of stuff. That's just insane.
Yeah. Talking about, we were watching this goofy YouTube video last night and talking about, you're seeing into the past.
Yeah, time travel. Like, you can see into the past as a superpower.
Yeah, it's a superpower, and it's just like, yeah, that's pulling one on us.
But it is true.
Yeah, because what we're looking at in the night sky, in some cases, those stars are already gone.
Sure.
But we're still seeing light that set out from that star, you know, years and years and years ago.
Hundreds, thousands of light years away. Yeah. Almost all of them. Well, here's our closest one, this Proxima Centauri, four light years away. Which is still...
Four light years.
Yeah. I mean, we're still talking a vast distance. But apparently, they have found an exoplanet that is orbiting that sun.
An exoplanet.
That's what they're calling them.
Okay.
The sweet spot. Apparently, they've been looking at it for 3 or 4 years, doing all the analytical data, all the math. It all points to it, that it's a temperate zone compatible with the presence of liquid water. More than likely, it has rocky mountainous places, all that stuff. It just seems like it would just be perfect.
For life.
Just the right distance. It's almost exactly the same size as our planet. It's Earth. It's Earth too.
Mm-hmm. And only 4 light years away.
Yeah.
We better start packing because we're going to destroy our planet. We need to go colonize another one.
This is on, Marlo Hood, by the way, on Yahoo News is who wrote this
article.
Marlo. And, I don't know. I just think stuff like that is just trippy.
I do too. What's going to suck though is when you were first telling me about this article, and you know we haven't heard any radio signals from this planet. Do you know what would suck more than anything else?
What's that?
Finding out we are the smartest life in this universe.
God, you know, I was talking about that just the other day. I ask that once in a while just to get people going, and yeah, that's one of my standard answers. Is like, I hope. In this whole universe, we're not
somebody smarter.
Are we the best this whole universe can produce? Is our dumb, barely above a monkey brain really? Is that as good as we can get? What we've got is us. That does not seem possible.
That's kind of scary. That's why I love science fiction so much, because there's all these superior alien races that can help us out.
We know, I was somebody was mentioning a class they had in college the other day, and I had this class, and I hardly hear anybody that ever has this anymore. It's zoology.
Uh-huh.
And zoology is basically, it's a study of evolution and animals, specifically like evolution and how all these animal species came about and categorizing them. And it's pretty amazing. It's a great class. But, you know, as you classify a specific animal, I mean, it goes, you're subdividing it more and more and more to get more and more specific. You know, I think it's, let's see. what is it? Family? No.
Kingdom, phylum, class,
order, family, genus, species.
Yep.
Kingdom, phylum, class, order, family, genus, species. Okay, yeah, that's seven or eight. So, you know, the very first one, right off the bat, is kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
You've got insecta and then basically everything else.
No, I think.
Or maybe that's phylum.
That's phylum. First
kingdom's
is
plant, animal,
or fungi.
Okay, next one's that then.
Yeah.
Kingdom, so phylum. Next under that is either insect or the rest of us.
Yeah.
Think about that. Just that one thing. If somehow we had evolved like insects, basically. Just imagine if we had our brains in an insect's body. That would be a million times more effective, frankly, than what we've got, than this little
but
rubbery.
Gravity won't allow it. Like, there is a size limitation based on exoskeletons for insects.
So you think it's a gravity limiting thing?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Whatever it is, just go with me. I'm just talking.
Okay. I'm sorry. I don't mean to pick it apart.
Just head
around.
Yeah. Just think about that. If we were like cockroaches, we all know this whole thing about they survive like in a microwave and in nuclear disasters. Cockroaches survive.
Yeah.
Right? Like if we had.
Well, you can rip their head off and they live until they starve to death.
Right. Like if we had some of those qualities, we'd already be on this Proxima B.
Yeah.
Because you can get on a spaceship and go. Like, you probably don't even need a spacesuit if you're, right?
Well, maybe. Maybe. Wow.
And I don't know about your gravity thing, but just in general, it's just a good thing that we didn't evolve. Well, I don't know if it's a good thing or not, but
it's
a good thing the insects didn't evolve with their no brains to be any bigger than they are, or we'd all be in trouble.
Yeah. Yeah,
I specifically remember my zoology teacher, and he's right. As far as the most efficient life on Earth, insects have us beat by a million times. And he was saying, and this is true, you take any square inch of dirt in the world, and there's going to be insects in there. Some small, some big, but every square inch of Earth on the Earth has insects on it. Pretty much. Maybe there's some desert and you're going to pick apart some whatever. All right.
That's the way my brain works. Hank, I'm sorry. You saw the look. I'm like.
But anyway.
Yeah. I mean,
the insects point is they are a million times more successful than us mammals.
Absolutely.
And the rest of us animals.
Yes. All animals.
So I'm just thinking.
Yeah, it is. It's fascinating. And it would be great if more people actually had zoology and kind of understood that some of those evolutionary relationships. We're not saying that evolution, it's a fact.
It is. They have to say theory just because.
Well, I mean,
you know,
it's
because
theory,
it's an ongoing process, but of course.
Well, it's a theory with a capital T. There's a difference between a theory with a lowercase T and a theory with a capital T. A theory with a capital T has been tested over and over and over again, and they can't find anything to disprove it. They've tried. That's science. They try. They come up with a hypothesis and they try to disprove it. And things like the theory of gravity and the theory of evolution, they've been trying and trying and trying. But when you drop something off of a building, it falls down. That's gravity. When you put a group of organisms under stress, like in a few generations, the offspring that have survived are passing on traits that are better able to survive in that stressful environment. That's evolution.
Right.
In a nutshell.
Right. And, you know, some I never hear, phylogeny recapitulates biology. My zoology teacher loved that phrase. And I may be messing it a little bit because, Lord, it's been 30, 40 years ago now. Well, 30 years ago.
30.
But all that, and that's just a fancy way of saying, like, we go through our evolution in the womb as we become human beings.
Yeah.
We pass through, that's the phylogeny part. And the recapitulates is, you know, it repeats what we've done in the past on the way to becoming a human being. We're a one-celled organism. At one point of our in the womb, we have gills.
Yeah.
At one point, we have
flippers and a tail.
We still have leftover tail. It's because you're Cossacks. All right. That's your tail. You have a tail. I hate to tell everybody. It's five little bones fused together. Everybody still has that. Anyway, that goes, you go through all those stages in the womb.
Yes.
And finally, the final stage is a human being. And that's what you are. You have gills at one time, people. All you
like
all,
a fish.
Yeah. So anyway, I never hear him say that. I don't know if they just think that's a throwaway
term. I had the weirdest thing happen to me the other day.
I'm sure people that are getting like, I don't prove nothing.
So no, people who are listening to our podcast are not saying that.
So
I have confidence.
What does that mean?
I have confidence in her.
I'm not
listeners.
Aquaman. I don't give her a shit. I can hear him now.
All right. I had the weirdest thing happen to me, though. I had a fella on the street, like I was talking to somebody, and they were asking, well, their power had gone out, and like they were out of town and had a bunch of fruit flies because evidently some stuff went bad in the refrigerator and they were cleaning it out. But anyhow, they thought that fruit flies just spontaneously generated from spoiled food.
Wow.
And
scientists used to think that.
Yeah, that was actually, it was taught as a theory that was disproved in my biology book that I had.
Good God.
In high school. Well, as a theory that was disproved.
Oh,
as, an example,
just, as an example of
this is a theory with a lowercase t that we have proven is wrong.
Right.
And here's how. And this is, you know, evolution. And, you know, and I had, you know, no. Flies come from eggs. Like something came in, some fruit or something that had some fly eggs in it, and they just had a lot to eat, and that's why there's a bunch of them.
Right.
So I had to explain that to somebody. Weird. And I wonder, it made me wonder, it got my mind rolling there. Like, I wonder if it was in their biology book the same way, but they latched onto that, like, spontaneous generation instead of what the lesson really was.
I think you're giving way too much damn credit. I think they're just like, huh, I wonder where these flies came from. I think they just spontaneously happier, huh?
Well, they mentioned that.
They mentioned that theory?
Yeah.
They must have just woke up right at the time then before the, this is wrong.
I guess.
Or they fell asleep. But
well.
At the point of we're like,
it was
this
their
is
crazy
wrong.
Girl downstairs.
But, good Lord.
Yeah, I was just kind of laughing about that one. So it's interesting. This is a good conversation.
It is a good conversation. Awesome. We always have good conversations.
We started with dirty jokes and rolled into zoology, evolution. Here comes Chairman.
And Proxima Centauri. Well, I think that's awesome. There's our planet. Someday, there's your goal. It's the closest one. It's 4 light years away. Send something there now.
How long would it take for, like,
our... 4 light years, it may take 500 years.
Like, stuff that we launched in the 70s is just now leaving our
right.
solar system.
We put a bunch of cockroaches on there. Let them steer it. They'll survive.
You are really in love with cockroaches, aren't you? That's so gross.
Oh, well, I can't help it. All right. And by the way, you can buy your cockroach book at Amazon.com. If you'll go to our website, click on the old Amazon banner.
Amazon banner.
Get out there and help us out, people. Buy something.
Well, if you're going to buy something on Amazon anyhow, please start with our website.
Yes. Click our banner. Go right there. Buy about, $5 million worth ought to do it.
Then we can get some new microphone covers.
Get Chairman Meow some cat food.
She got cat fud today.
She did get some cat fud.
She got diet cat fud because she's a little pudgy right now. She's a lot pudgy right now.
You bought the little mini Puma?
I did because after she had been sick and after she had her teeth taken out, I bought her like the super good high protein oh, God, I don't even remember the name of it. But anyhow, it was like the fanciest freaking cat food. I said it on accident.
We say cat food. We say cat food all the time. It's our little inside joke.
And I'm on the cat food. And it has made her so pudgy. She's
it's good absolutely. For her.
But she has put some weight back on. So now we need to just kind of tone her back.
She has a sheen to her.
No, that is just cat hair flying off everywhere. Since she's been eating this cat food, she has shed nonstop. She's fat.
We need a hair replacement system for cats. She needs one.
A what?
She's losing all her hair.
She's not. She's endlessly generating it. She's fluffy.
Like Jack Hank's hair replacement for cats.
No.
I think we could pick all her hair off one at a time and she'd be bald.
I don't think so. I try to brush her, but then she carries on and yowls and throws a fit and runs and hides and hisses and everything else. She really does not like to be brushed.
No, she throws a holy hell fit.
Holy hell fit. Yeah, she does.
She pretty much does. Petra, are you ready to let our good listeners go about their jog or commute to work or whatever they might be doing?
Yes. All right, everybody. Thank you for listening to us this week, and we'll talk to you next week.